to an unscheduled Definitive Crusade. What a week it's been. It wasn't that long ago we were sort of like debating the whole idea that DC's comics were kind of treading water a little bit. And then, of course, came the Manic Monday, or the Monday Massacre, depending on how you want to talk about it. Here to talk about the whole shebang, kit and caboodle, as always, friends across the pond. Josh, how's it going?
I'm exhausted. I literally just got off of work before this, so I'm mentally just...
Sorry about that. Fred?
That's okay. Being an adult.
How are you, Taylor? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Cool.
I haven't gone to work yet.
That's cold. That's what I call cold. That is kind of like telling you how it is. That's keeping it nice and real. That's totally. Right. So let's crack on. So Monday was the big day, big announcement. 2 weeks before DC Fan Expo came out that a third of the editorial staff of DC would be made redundant. On top of that, huge job losses at DC Universe, which has got to be the most misnamed concept in the world of concepts. And DC Collectibles, DC Direct also gone away. So when you look at this, this isn't kind of the dudes just in the trenches, or the dudettes in the trenches. This includes losses such as Bob Harris, who was the editor-in-chief, senior vice president of publishing, strategy and support service, Hank Canales. It's great. All these names I'm going to get mixed up. It's great. VP of Marketing and Creative Services, Jonah Wieland, and VP Global Publishing Initiatives and Digital Strategy, Bobby Chase, who was instrumental in bringing the young adult stuff. Mm-hmm. Guys, what were you thinking? What happened Monday? What were you thinking? What's the first thing that went through your head?
Do you want my off the record answer?
Well, as we're on the record, why don't you give me an answer?
I was AT&T.
All right, okay. Cool.
For it to come out of nowhere, it would have been one thing if they would have said, hey, we're going to be making some changes, things like that. But for them to just come in and do this, now it's really kind of rocking the industry and potentially not in a good way.
All right, so explain the AT&T thing for people who might not know.
So AT&T is the, I guess you could say, the parent company, because they're Warner... Is it Warner Media that owns... There's a connection with AT&T and Warner Media that owns DC Comics, but that also includes Warner Brothers, which has licenses for all of the DC characters. So you look at the animated movies, which we have said multiple times are absolutely fantastic. That's where, from a digital medium... DC has been rocking it. The comics, just listen to our previous episodes and that'll explain that. Okay. But with AT&T being the big conglomerate that it is, I'm willing to bet none of them have, or very few have, read comic books.
Okay.
So they're looking at it from a business standpoint and the money side of it, and not necessarily the industry as a whole.
Okay, Freya, what do you think? Josh made some valid points.
My first impression, to be perfectly honest, was, well, I'm not surprised, because I saw this coming for a long time. Because if you're completely honest, with all of the books we have read, how many of them were actually great or that good? Mm-hmm. Because the vast majority of them are not that good.
That's a good show.
Out of all of the books, and I'm sorry to say it, but I kind of understand AT&T, because if they're not turning a profit, then what are you going to do? You're going to cut what's not making you profit. And that's just a business standpoint. And I know comics and art and all that, but here's the thing. If these artists and whatnot are not making you money, what's the point of having them, you know? So it makes the books have been subpar. The Batwoman run was awful. The Birds of Prey run was awful. They turned Dick Grayson into Rick, and that was freaking awful. Nightwing's been pretty awful consistently. All of these, you know, the Batman, the Metals books was a letdown. All of the Doomsday Clock was a letdown. It's just, you can't say that DC Comics has been putting out really good things, because they haven't. And it's sad to say, because these are great characters. But for the most part, most of these stories and arcs are just subpar. They're like meh at best. They're just meh, you know? So it's just, I saw this coming. I was shocked that it didn't happen earlier, especially with like the shutdowns and everything. But yeah, I totally saw this coming. And because it is a business, and business sucks, you know? And it's cutthroat, and it is what it is. But the thing is I can't really blame them, because you need to listen to your customers. You can't just go, well, if you don't like it, don't buy it, because that's what people do. If they don't like your product, they don't buy it. And then this happens, and people get laid off, and it's just awful. And sometimes, and it's hard to say, because it is art, and art's subjective, so not everyone likes the same thing, and you know. But as a business standpoint, you need to do what's making you money. And it's parted of me, but I have known so many CEOs and whatever throughout my life for various things, and they're all kind of, it is what it is, and it sucks. But, you know, that's the industry. You're there to make money, not to play, hugs and kisses with everyone. Because, like I said, art's subjective, and most artists don't make money.
show business, not show friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of, as always, I fall right bang slap in the middle of this, because I kind of think, yeah, my knee-jerk reaction, Josh, same as you, man. It was like, damn the powers that be. Mm-hmm. Frey made some great points. DC Comics haven't been fantastic. Sure, Batman still sells, but Batman's always going to sell. And Harley's going to sell. That's fine. Do you think that the industry as a whole, not just DC Comics, just think about the industry, do you think the industry hasn't evolved as quickly? Because what's happening to comic books now is very similar to what happened to music a few years ago, when iTunes and now Spotify and all the streaming sites you've got now, you don't need to go out and physically buy a CD. You can just, you know, download it or listen, stream it, or whatever you want to do to it. Is this the comics industry failing to evolve and offer that, and then keeping up with this archaic process of shipping and getting it out of the shops? And we'll get onto the symbiotic relationship between all that in a bit. Is it just a fact of life that, you know what, as a business, it's cheaper to make digital content than it is to print it? Gosh. I'm sorry, Freya. Go on, I'm gonna kind of go jump on that.
Go on, I was just gonna say, I don't necessarily think that that's the main thing, because a lot of people do like the physical copies. Well, at least okay, I'm gonna bring something up that people may not like, but I don't think it's a physical copy so much, is because if you look at manga sales, which people just say, oh, that's Japanese comics. I'm like, okay, fine, we'll do that. We'll make that comparison just for kicks and giggles. Their sales are up 40%, and that's including physicals. Mm-hmm. So to say that comics aren't selling well because of physicals isn't actually true, because people are buying manga, you know, Japanese comics, in the physical form. Like, I was looking up, Viz Media says that they're up over 40% in sales. And there was, what book? According to a certain, what book was it? I had it pulled up, but now I can't find it. There was a particular book this year's, one issue alone sold over 60 million copies. 60 million copies of one issue of one manga. Damn. And you know, and it wasn't even the highest selling manga series for the year, but it sold 60 million. And so it's not necessarily that the physicals, I think that the main problem with DC, and I think even Marvel, is that they do not have variety. And once again, sorry, I'm making comparisons between manga and Western comic, because manga has all this variety. If you wanna read a story about a gay couple, they have it. If you want a lesbian couple, they have it. If you want straight up horror like Junji Ito, they have it, you know. And they've had it for years. Sailor Moon had transvestite characters back in the 90s, you know, and because there's so many different stories, and yes, there's bad stories and there's good stories, but there's always something for somebody, and it's a huge variety, and they're always on time. Well, once again, there are some that are not on time, but they have schedules, and they have quality control, and the books look good, and they're nice, and they have picture, you know, the artwork's nice. You don't have these weird things in the background, you know, they don't.
no weird Jessica Cruz hand where it's like,
yeah,
just all black.
Yeah, granted hentai is its own little thing, and there's some weird stuff going on there, but we're not talking hentai, we're just talking about the general public stuff. But like, and that's the thing, DC Comics we're reusing the same superheroes over and over and over again. And then when we claim we want more diversity, instead of creating a new character on their own or their own thing, for some reason, they have to be connected to one of the big superheroes, and they have to be a superhero. Like, why can't we have some, make diversity and don't make an already existing character into something else? Because people don't like that. They like the character as who it is already. So just create a new character. I mean, yeah. There is very little, and like making Thor a woman, I'm like, okay, well, why didn't we just do a different goddess? We have a huge, huge selection of goddesses. Why didn't we just make one of them? Why did we have to make the God of Thunder a female? That doesn't make any sense. It's a lack of variety. It's just the same thing, except now Thor is female, you know? And that's the lack of diversity and, because it's the same thing, and then you just try to change Batman to something else, and just, why don't make a new character? Yeah, it's not going to be as popular, because granted, these other characters have, you know, a legacy, so you're not going to be immediately popular, but if you make a good character and give them good stories, people will like them. People don't like you taking something they already like and then changing it into something else. So that's what's stagnated DC and all of them, is they're just trying to stick with the same characters, but then change them, and then can't understand why people are upset that they did this change. And I think that's the main problem.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And breathe. And that's a great point. in that we talked about the different ways that they were going to change Batman this year in the 5G, and that's looking like it's not going to happen. One of the instigators of the whole idea of change is editor Mark Doyle, who was up for the Black Label books. But let's not forget, Black Label wasn't without its controversy. Josh, is digital blame? Has the comic book market, has it become too stagnant in characters as well as publishing type of processes?
For the big three, I feel that it has. So I've had some time to think, and it was actually good to be able to listen to hear Freya's thoughts. So the big two in general have gone stagnant because they're looking at it from a money standpoint. They're willing to put out crap at a high dollar and just assume that people are going to buy it just for face value. You know, We're judging a book by its cover. And that's why people are buying the book. But once you actually read the book, then it's like, ugh, what the hell? But on the flip side, no pun intended, you look at the independent market, indie books are pumping out some of the best stories I've read in a while. The artwork is on point. The writing is on point because these creators are putting their blood, sweat, and tears into it. And I don't think that the big writers are doing that. They may have started there, but they're not at that point anymore. They've gone too high up on the pedestal, if you will. And so now the industry, as far as the big two are concerned, it is suffering. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the other aspect that stands out, and maybe we'll be talking about this later, was with this announcement about potentially licensing out characters to different studios. The more I thought about it, that's probably not a bad idea, because sure, Warner Brothers has put out a lot for DC. Please keep the animated stuff with Warner Brothers Animated, because those have been the absolute best. But for live action, this may actually be a much needed resurgence in the live action movie arena.
See, I'm old school. I don't particularly care. If I'm reading a comic book, and I don't care if Batman gets a movie. I don't care if the Justice League is a movie. I don't care if Jessica Cruz is in a movie. Or maybe Steph Brown, maybe. But that's a different thing. I'm reading it for the comics. I'm a comic book fan. I'm not
a... No, I don't want to discredit comic book fans, because I think we need to have some new blood brought in. And maybe that's what AT&T is doing, is let's get rid of the people who've been in this for far too long. Your term is up. Have a good day. Sorry, it's a shitty way to go, but it needs a change. And again, the more I think about it and hearing, you know, your thoughts and Freya's thoughts, maybe AT&T had the balls to be like, okay, we're going to change this up. You may not like it, but something has to change. And it, I guess, no pun intended, maybe Doomsday Clock was the subliminal change that DC had coming.
All right. So there's a book. There's a book. It's called Marvel, The Untold Stories by Sean Howe. And if you get it, if you're a comic book fan, get this book. I think it's about $10 maybe. But it's like year thick. It's, I must read this book constantly. It's class. But what the bit I really like about it is it tells you how Marvel kind of shot themselves in the foot through the 80s and into the 90s. And it was very much the guy at the top would change and say things like, right, we're going to do something different. We're going to do something new. We're going to be vibrant. We're going to do this, that, and the other. But then it would be the same people underneath working on the books. So you can't change. You can't make a different meal using the same ingredients, man. Sometimes if you want to try something new, get rid of the ingredients and start again, which is kind of what you get alluding to. I think that's a fair shout. That is definitely a fair shout. If you've got to think, you know, we need different people to take on, you know, some people are going to have to sort of like be shown the door. You're right, AT&T maybe shown the balls to do that. I'm thinking that the coronavirus has shown the frailty of the comic book industry when Diamond, correctly, by the way, let's not abuse Diamond. Diamond were concerned about the staff and the families of the staff, so they closed the warehouse down and closed the distribution down for comic books. That had that symbiotic knock-on effect of affecting comic book stores, readers, to the point where my local comic book store is still not open. So, you know, I've said that loads of times. But the virus, the pandemic, has shown how fragile the whole printing the books, ordering them 2 months in advance, getting them into a shop. Freya was kind of mentioned about the money aspect. The pandemic has shown AT&T and Warner's that, you know what? We're letting somebody else control our purse strings. How about, if guys, if you wanted to go out for a night out on the town with your friend and your significant others, but I spent all your money on something else, how would you feel?
I'd be pissed that I'm not wearing the fishnets you bought.
Yeah, they're a one-fits-me kind of thing, sorry.
I mean, with the whole pandemic thing and people have been losing their jobs and whatnot, it kind of showed, because throughout history, history lesson, but in the entertainment industry, and sorry to say, but comic books are, of course, part of the entertainment industry. That is something that the people with disposable income have, you know, the wealthy, quote unquote, have always been the ones who, you know, went to the plays and paid money for this and that because they have disposable income. But when you're barely scraping by, you're not going to be going and dropping, you know, 10 bucks for a comic book. You're going to be like, well, I kind of comic book I need to pay rent or something. So the entertainment industry, if people don't have jobs and don't have disposable or, you know, extra money, they're not going to buy your stuff. And that's the thing. And that's why it's so fragile, is you need, you know, people to have money to be able to waste, you know, on things that they don't need, because a comic book is not a need. It's something you want because you like comic books, but it's not a necessity to survive, you know? And a lot of people are figuring that out in their life right now, is I need to pay rent. I need to make this $5 go as far as it can because I don't have a job anymore, or, you know, my hours were cut or something, you know, or medical expenses, or, you know, and that's just kind of the harsh reality that's been kind of thrust upon a lot of people. And especially these things, like people, like we have drive-ins, but I don't know very many people who go to the drive-in in my area because, you know, they need the money for other things, you know. So I think it's that might also be a contributor for AT&T to be cutting people as well. But yeah,
I mean, one of the biggest ways, there's two ways businesses make money, is that hike up the prices so you pay more for the same stuff you were buying.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be fair, I wouldn't pay $4.99 for some of the DC books we've been looking at recently.
Yeah.
Yep. The other way is to find a way to do the same thing but cheaper.
Yep.
Digital offers you that. Digital offers you that there's no printing press, there's no printing costs, there's no running late, there's no distribution fees, there's no, you know, we can get the book to you, Josh. You want the Josh, you want the book tomorrow? You can have the book tomorrow, dude. Just press that little icon that says download. Not the one that says, oh, by the way, you've got to go to your comic book shop, order it, wait 2 months, hopefully it ships on time, and then you get it. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, the industry, the entertainment industry, and phrase bang on right, it is that disposable income thing, whether it be you're paying for a Netflix subscription, or you're paying for Prime, or you're paying for Disney Plus. You won't be paying DC Universe anymore, just saying. Too soon?
Well, you know. Poof.
You know, it's that. And I don't want to go. Disney this weekend was talking about Mulan coming onto their streaming service.
Mm-hmm. You
know? For 30 bucks, though. You got to pay an extra $30 to see that. Yeah, that's
Yeah, but people are saying they're not going to pay the $30 because, once again, who wants to pay $30 for a rental, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, they've missed the point. They've missed the point.
Mm-hmm.
How many people would go and watch Mulan by themselves if it was at the cinema? None. It's a family. Just majority of people. The majority of people will be going to the cinema. Paid how much are cinema tickets now in the States? $10, $15?
Depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Give me a ballpark.
About $10.
Yeah, $10. And then $30 if you want snacks.
All right, no one needs snacks there. They sneak them in.
That's what we do. So you've got two parental units, you got two kids, you got all the snacks that's going with that. You're telling me that that doesn't cost more than $30?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the model is, it's not $30 per person, it's $30 per rental, and you can have as many people around watching it with you in your family unit. So when you boil it down that way, it's cheaper.
But you gotta also remember, Johnny, Disney Plus is a subscription, so you're already paying money to them.
Yeah, so that's more money on top of the subscription price.
So that's like buying the snacks then, isn't it?
Yeah. That's
like buying the snacks on top of the yeah. Congratulations, you have Mulan for $30, and for $6 more, you can watch the Avengers movies as many times as you like.
But a lot of people are just saying that they're just going to wait until it just, because it's going to end up on Disney Plus anyway. So yeah. They're like, well, why would I pay $30 if I could just wait longer and it'll be on there for free?
See, over here we have Sky. Sky's our big satellite provider. So it's got all like pay-per-views and stuff. You have to pay a subscription to get the movies, but the movies are generally things you've already seen at the cinema. It's always baffled my brain why people pay a movie subscription for things they've already seen. But
again, because they want the digital stuff. We've moved to a digital age to where people don't necessarily want to get up and actually get the DVD or the DVD out of the case, put it in the player, go sit back down. They want it right then and there. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
People, right. They don't want to get up. They don't want to have to go through the long boxes to find the book they want to read. They just want it all right there.
That's fine. So one of the things that a lot of people are banging on about and saying, why now? Why this decision for DC? Why has it happened now? You're 2 weeks away from the DC Fandom event. What logical reason is there for all these layoffs 2 weeks before the event?
I think maybe it's a chance for DC to make announcements of, here's what's going to be changing. You've seen what's happened. We've rocked the, no pun intended, the DC universe. Here's the next phase or stage of it. And maybe I'm just trying to look at it in a positive light. You know, if they are, as I alluded to, licensing out characters to other companies, maybe there are plans for different avenues where we get to see these characters that we all know and love from a totally different perspective than the DCI.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because Frey was mentioning it before as well, and I was just jotting some notes down. IDW at the moment produce a range of Star Wars books, Star Wars Clone Wars books, as well as Marvel action books.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they're already doing some sort of licensing deal with Marvel.
Well, didn't they have? Wasn't it IDW did Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then they even did the Justice League and Power Rangers. You know, so we've seen kind of that crossover. I actually like the Batman and TMNT books. Those were fun. But again, maybe that's just the indie side of me recognizing that you have independent writers and artists on the books rather than the mainstream DC people.
Okay, cool. So, Freya, different question for you. All right?
Mm-hmm.
We've already talked a little bit about how the quality of DC has kind of become stagnant. You weren't quite vocal about that. You've also talked about how we get the same sort of regurgitated storylines and the same sort of feeling of it. And they're not going to do massive changes because these are massive business icons, media icons. So, you know, everyone knows we're not going to change Batman too much because Batman's Batman. We're not going to change Superman too much because Superman's Superman. I get that. But that was like the case way back when in the 80s, when you had the Killing Joke, and you had Year One, you had the Dark Knight Returns. So how was it that DC back then could offer these different versions, and everybody loved them, as well as create something new, well, relatively new, because they're based on old Charlton characters, in The Watchmen. Why can DC get back to that level of creativity?
So I think with the 80s and that whole, like, changing them up and whatnot is, it's kind of the same thing as too much of something always gets annoying, you know, just like Joker was awesome, but now he's just freaking everywhere, and how we complain that Batman's in every single book, even though he shouldn't be there, and Wonder Woman's now in Justice League Black, and that doesn't make sense, and it's more of a, yeah, it was fine back then because it wasn't something that was constantly happening, you know, but I feel like ever since then, we always have a, oh, we have an alternate universe, this person, and we have this version, and this version, and this version, and this version, and we're like, okay, well, can we, you know, and it's just, people, I think, now are sick of it. It's now old and boring, and we don't like it. And that's what I think the main issue with it is. It was, because it was unique back in the day, but now it's just, oh, great, we're changing Dick Grayson again, or we're changing, you know, Birds of Prey again, or, you know, oh, it's a new version of so-and-so. Yeah, you know? Like, it's been done, like beating the dead horse. Okay, we've had this before. Can we do something new now? You know, can, but also, I think people are, because of the whole, because people are now, you know, wanting more diversity in their comics, they want their own character created and developed, like Jessica Cruz. Like, she's a fantastic, fantastic character because of who she is. That they created her, and she has her own backstory, and she's fantastic. And a lot
very
of
very underutilized too.
Very underutilized, exactly. And I think now, because everyone wants the diversity more, it's kind of an insult to just be like, well, they can't hold it on their own, so we're gonna make them a character that's already beloved, and you know. Because it is insulting to say that, oh, well, we can't create, and kind of lazy, in my opinion, yeah. We can't create a diverse character because people will hate it, which is not true, because, once again, manga, they have, and they've always had for a long time, these diverse characters, granted, you know, as diverse as manga can get, because I don't know many people with pink hair or violet eyes, but you know what I mean.
Purple hair, I'm diverse.
Like, you know, they have lesbian characters, and they have bi characters, and they have gay characters. No one bats an eye in manga, but for some reason, people over here are like, well, those characters can't be their own thing, so we have to, you know, because people won't like them. I'm like, that's not true. People will like them, but they don't like you taking Batman and making somebody else Batman. It doesn't make sense. You should just create a character and don't name it something that you know will piss the customers off. You know, don't antagonize your customers, and then they'll buy the book if it's a well written character. Like Batwoman, she's a great character, but when they created her, the Batwoman books, they butchered her character, you know, because it was, oh, well, we know what the Batwoman woman book was. It was awful. They focused so much on her sexuality, they completely missed the point of, you know, her character all, because her character is a lot more than her sexuality. She's great. Awesome. She can hold her own with Batman, you know, and she is a loved character, but they just can't seem to figure out that, you know.
I told you how great she was in Detective Comics. When they were doing the whole Bat Team thing, and then how bad she was in her own book, it was ridiculous. You make a really good point. Would you buy a Jessica Cruz book if she wasn't a Green Lantern?
Jessica Cruz, yeah. If the story was a very well developed story, and it tackled a lot of things, like if it was a story about her, like, combating her depression and anxiety because of what happened to her friends, and when I would buy that, because I've actually bought manga that are a slice of life and no one's a superhero, and it deals with that stuff. So yeah, I definitely would buy. Because it's interesting.
The counterpoint that you're making about creating the same character over and over again is that if we just keep it bats for the time being, just for the sake of it. If we didn't do that, then we wouldn't have had Jason Todd. Then we wouldn't have had Tim Drake. Both of those characters are much loved by loads of people. God knows why anybody likes Jason.
I knew that was coming.
Hey, I have to be true to type, right? So, I mean, having the regurgitated element, Damien as well. I mean, you love Damien, Freya. Without that regurgitation, we don't have Damien as Robin.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have Dick as Batman. And for large parts of fandom, those really worked. I loved Dick Grayson as Batman. I thought that was a great change of pace. I thought it was really good fun. Seeing a Batman that wasn't perfect, who made mistakes. I guess the important thing to recognise here is that the DC comics aren't actually going anywhere. And this has been stated on a couple of websites as quotes from the powers that be. DC comics aren't going anywhere. It's how we're getting and what we're getting that's going to change. So does that mean more Bat books, Josh? Does that mean more Joker books?
I just hope that whatever direction they take it, that the quality of the book is better, both in the writing and the artwork. Because, I mean, we've been very critical about the artwork.
I think we loved it.
Remember the lantern that looked like a chewed up piece of gum?
Yeah.
Jessica Cruz's hand. Looking at Batman 96 that we just reviewed, there was one panel that I was going to actually mention it on the show, but slipped my mind, but I'm going to bring it up here, where they half-assed the panel and Alfred looks like a blur, like a blob of paint, like they just put it on there. Like, if they're going to be changing the quality of the books, it needs to be a very thorough thing. I would rather wait and get two books a month for a Batman story and have the artwork be bang on perfect.